I could not make this up.
With Kev Nash.
Oh, I can leave.
DJ Killer Kev.
Mouse.
And Hayes.
Let me tell you, boys, you can't make that shit up.
The inside. Real deal, straight up.
Are you crazy?
Hottest stories from the world of hip-hop.
This is ludicrous.
It's the big boss, Rick Ross.
What up? It's your boy, Young Jeezy.
This is 50 Cent.
Sports.
Some of those dogs were the most incredible dogs I've ever seen.
And what's popping in the DYT.
I couldn't make this shit up. If I tried. I'm sad that I lack the talent to make this shit up.
Here's Kev Nash, DJ Killer Kev, and A Dizzle.
You Can't Make This Up podcast, Kev Nash.
DJ Killer Kev.
Hey, Dizzle.
Episode
380.
You know what? We've been talking about doing a live pod for like 3 years now.
Yeah.
400 sounds like the right number, right?
Definitely.
Three and two did too,
but four sounds just
let me do some quick math.
Where does that land?
That's
if we do the pod every week.
That's the end of the summer, fall.
20 weeks from now.
July 13th.
That will be July either 14th or 13th.
So let's
I'm sorry, 14th or 21st, my bad.
So let's buffer that because we're probably not going to do every episode. So
sound that like killer birthday weekend, July
31st.
Okay.
Yeah,
Hold on. You know what?
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and announce it now. I am having a birthday party this year with a friend of mine who is a education doctor, Miss Dr. Carmela Daniels. We have rented out Presidential, and we both trying to bring like 150 guests. Like, we're going to have like a party. So it's at Presidential. We could be live. You know, we could figure out something maybe.
You know, I like a good double dip.
Yeah. Little pot in the party.
I like how that sounds. Pencil that in, man. We got to make that happen, man.
Hell yeah.
All right, man. Let's jump into it. Fellas, how was the week?
I always say good. My week was terrible. So if you want to get the good out the way or the bad out the way, y'all let me know.
Well, we're going to get the bad out the way. Get the bad juju out early.
So started out, I had to work 7 days last week and 7 days. I haven't had an off day. Today's my first off day in a little minute.
What up, boss?
Well, take that back. I was off Thursday, but it wasn't an off day. So we'll start with the super bad. I was driving home Thursday evening. Wednesday evening. We had a meeting. I went and saw my boy's new house that he's getting, you know, redone and then remodeled and putting a lot into. Went and checked that out. Got some food, and I'm headed home, which is, you know, north of Inglewood, and driving, the radio goes black, comes back on, off on. Next thing I know, headlights, radio, air, everything but the actual engine turns off. So I'm going up past Consumer Square and Trotwood, going up Salem, and there's no street light, so it's pitch dark. I had to kind of like pull over.
So everything went off while you driving. You're on
while
the road,
I'm driving.
And then
while I'm driving,
going crazy. Wow.
Correct. So I pull over. I'm like, I'm trying to make it home, but I'm like, if I turn this off, is it going to start back up? I turn it off. Now, a little part of the story I didn't share. Had about a month ago, I had a battery issue. I was having to jump the car, so I had to go buy a battery probably 2-3 weeks ago. The guy at the time when I went to AutoZone, he said, oh, yeah, alternator putting out enough. You probably just need a new battery because, you know, it's not getting enough power. So bought the new battery. Well, now I think that new battery is what was saving me because my check engine light comes on, but it comes on a lot because of my gas thing. So I wasn't having no issues. Nothing was feeling different, but it just kind of maybe both kind of coincided. It had been on for maybe a week. And that happened. So then it took me 2 hours of starting and stopping the car, having to rest for 15, 20 minutes. I ended up making it into my aunt's house, sat there for about an hour, and then was able to make it pretty much home from that point. But that was a terrible Wednesday. No sleep, early wake up. Had a mechanic come over. My stepbrother knows a guy. And he came over, checked everything out. He said, you need an alternator. I called Everywhere, AutoZone, O'Reilly's, Advanced Auto Parts, Kia, Beaver Creek, Kia, Huber Heights, Kia. No one has an alternator. So we decided, I found a spot in Dayton called Dayton Starters where they rebuild alternators. So I took my alternator off yesterday, dropped it off. Was not expecting to get a call back the same day, but they called me right before they closed and said it was fixed. We opened 8 to 12 today. So I went and picked that up. My mechanic's on his way after the pod to fix. Hopefully my car be done and fixed today. So, but I had to deal with the expense. Question.
You said you called AutoZone and everything like that. Did you call the AutoZone that gave you the faulty information and cuss him out? Mm-hmm.
Not yet. I actually want to drive by there and be like, yo, what the hell?
Yeah, pull up on him because I am not a big car person, but you know, my cousin is, and you know, that happened to me back in high school or whatever. Like, yeah, your alternator dead. And he's with me as that happens. Like, yeah, your alternator dead. I was like, how you know? And he just knows this type of shit. So as soon as you said you was rolling and the lights went out, radio went out, only thing was going on was the car. I was like, alternator, just like that. Mm-hmm. And for somebody that work at AutoZone that's supposed to know they shit to tell you, oh, well, just buy another $150 battery.
Well, that didn't happen until this week. So when I was having the issues prior, I was coming out in the morning when it was really cold and I wasn't able to start the car. So I was having the battery issue. And when they put the stuff on there, it was showing that everything was, you know, powering but the battery. So then 2 or 3 weeks later, that happens. Here, I got a new battery and about to have a new alternator and probably a new car because I don't want to keep. When things like this happen, I just want to go trade it in and get something else. So I'm going to fix it up, detail it, and sell it. That's the goal.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
But shit, your car ain't been working. My PlayStation ain't been working. My shit cutting off.
So let me finish the rest of my week. So then... all that happened on Thursday, right? Thursday, I had to DJ. I had an event at Sinclair for Central State's ROTC program. Now, shame on me for being a little judgmental, but the word Central State and a party, I assume, would be more of, you know, the quarterbacks we like in the NFL, right? So I get there, and it was a lot of other people there. Probably 85% of the room was white. And I was like, well, it makes sense because I actually had a commander when I was in the military who served, who went to college at Central State on an ROTC scholarship. So they're partying, having a good time. I think I posted a video. I don't know if you saw it or not, but the boys tried to do the dirty dancing thing where they raised the people up and... time of my life, you know, all that, and didn't make it. Flips over, hits a girl, coffee and shit comes flying towards my shit, right? So as he's in the air falling, it was less than 5 feet from where I was, maybe like 5-6 feet. So as he's flipping over, my wife is grabbing the controller or the table and she's scooting, and I grab the laptop and I'm scooting, and fortunately it just hit my speakers, nothing on the table. But I mean, drinks flew everywhere. The girl that got hit was standing there with about 7 other girls that just walked over to take a picture. It could have been a huge melee of spillage, but they had a good time, a good party. They actually had a good turn up with no liquor, so it was nice to see.
Was they even worried about your equipment? Like, after the fact, you know what I'm saying? That shit ain't cheap.
Yeah, my military baron kicked in. I made them motherfuckers clean that shit up. So I was I like, wipe that shit off, please. Get that cleaned off. They were really apologetic and, you know, they were just having a good time. But it was like doing like the drunk wedding reception, but they wasn't drunk. That's how much of a good time they was having. Like, they was just wilding out. But I had to figure out how to get all to that gig. I had to get my wife, kids home. It was nuts not having my car. So then I still had to run a business. Had to cash out yesterday. Was Employee Appreciation Day. So we bought lunch for everybody. Went and had drinks last night. So it's just been spending, spending, spending. I'm ready to save, save, save. I'm over it.
Yeah, that's just that boss life, man. That's definitely that boss life. Did you get anything from the employees for Employee Appreciation Day? I mean, you only technically been a boss for a little while.
Right. No, I did not get an actual gift. Employees
feel good.
Didn't get an actual gift, but one of my employees, she's a retired school employee, and she cooks, and she's amazing, amazing cook, and she's going to make me a carrot cake, she said. So that's coming this week. And we've had it before at the office, and it's top tier, so looking forward to that. But now we was really trying to take care of our people. They hold us down a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of our staff has been around, even our old staff that have other jobs. They come help us out. Even, you know, somebody that worked in just Saturday and Sunday, not making a lot of money at Edible Arrangement, but it helps us have a day off. It helps us. So we really got a solid little crew that, you know, holds us down. So we want to make sure we took care of them.
Dope.
Bad week. I wasn't happy this week.
Bad week for Killer. Dizzle, hope you had a better week than him.
Yeah. Just been chilling. Like I said, the only thing going on is just my PlayStation ain't been working like it should. Should just be cutting off. Mm. I done had to take it apart and like clean it. That, you know, I got three dogs. For whatever reason, I had the PlayStation on the floor. So the fan had like a whole bunch of hair stuck to it. I done cleaned that off. And I left the cover off so I can just put the fan on it and cool it off some. So we're gonna see if that worked. But shit, that's been it for me. Just kind of just playing video games.
How long you had it?
It's only been out for like 3 years. I've had it for 3 years. I got it when it first came out.
I don't like that return on investment. I don't know.
Not at all.
That's a pretty penny to have an issue 3 years. It's like my 2019 Kia having an issue.
Yeah, so
that's probably the highlight. Just been chilling.
What's the warranty on that? You can't like go up to Walmart or GameStop, you know, and be like, yo,
I don't know. I gotta figure it out. But so far, leaving the little plate, like the cover, leaving that off so the guts and the insides are showing, and keeping the fan on it, it worked yesterday.
What you gonna do with the dogs though? They still around?
I moved it. It's not on the floor. It should have never been on the floor. Yeah. I came downstairs. A cat was laying on it. I'm like, oh god, damn.
hilarious. Well, for me, man, I had an awesome week. And all thanks to one thing I did. It's a lot of things that we do at the radio station. That's cool, you know. Obviously, go to free shows, interview folks, you know, the typical stuff. The food drive is always dope. When the tornadoes hit, we helped out with that. When the Flint water crisis, which is still going on, by the way, when that really made waves and news, we collected water and sent it up there. But I can honestly say there was nothing I did in my radio career more rewarding than what I did on Thursday. So earlier this year, our operations manager basically challenged all the employees at the station to find a local nonprofit to be a part of. Now, I could have took the easy route. You know, the wife works for a nonprofit in town. I could have been like, hey, what y'all got going on? And just simply made it super easy. But I really try to challenge myself to try to find something different, something unique that's really close to me. So as everybody knows, I got way too many shoes. So I was like, man, I'm wondering if there's like an organization like that donates shoes to people in need. So I'm just Googling. And I find this place called Shoes for the Shoeless. They're based out of here in Dayton. And I'm looking at their board, and then I recognize one of the faces on there, Lamont Hall. He's from the area, works for the city. He's fraternity brothers with OP, Nick P, Curtis, like all people that we real cool with. So I reached out to him to put me in contact with somebody on the board or their director. Had a great meeting with her, Chris. And one of my biggest things was I wanted to participate in one of their events as opposed to, you know, simply run PSAs, come up with an event to do and just collect the money and split the money with the nonprofit and then help them in that way. I really wanted to get hands on with the situation. So what Shoes for the Shoeless does is they provide shoes to children, new shoes to children, and socks as well. So this past Thursday, we went to a elementary school in Middletown and donated 200 shoes to kids. So while we're down there, it was a whole bunch of nursing students from Sinclair there, at least like 50 of them, and myself and Ryan Drake. And we were down there, and she was like giving us the whole spiel about, you know, kids in need and things that they need. Just like you start thinking about it, like, whoa, like I never thought of it like that. And she just told us like some things to keep an eye on. Like, hey, man, if you see, you know, saying feet just messed up, you see ingrown toenails, you see just whatever, something that shouldn't be on a kid's foot, let us know. We'll contact the doctor or the school nurse and, you know, saying we'll go from there and everything like that. And she's like giving us instructions on how to talk to children. Now, anybody knows me knows that I treat everybody the same. I treat dudes the same. I treat women the same. The only thing really different that I do for women that I don't do for dudes is hold the door. I treat everybody the same. I don't believe in this whole, like, hey, man, you get special treatment because you're this. Everybody gets pretty equal treatment for me. I treat everybody pretty much the same. That's probably why I'm not really good with kids. Because I just, hey, man, get over it, dude. What's the big deal? Why are you crying? That's right. Why I really appreciate the nephew right now, because he's about to be 9 years old, so I can talk to him any old kind of way. I can mush him around like he just anybody else. So I really appreciate him growing up. So I got super nervous. I was super nervous, and I rarely get nervous about stuff like that because, like, it's a kid in need. And like, she give us all these statistics and, hey, take them by the hand. And I'm thinking to myself, hey, man, I don't touch people's kids, man. Like, I just started overthinking the whole situation. So we line up, and as these kids are coming in, you know, there's some kids that are crying, some kids that are shy, some kids that are embarrassed. And thank goodness, the first girl that I helped out was amazing. She made me feel so comfortable. She had a bubbly personality. She was hyper. She was hyped. She was happy to get shoes. She had the biggest smile on her face when she got her brand new pair of shoes, hooked her up with a couple books, some socks. And I personally helped out 3 kids that day, man. And I can honestly say that was the best experience I've had in quite a long time.
Dope. Super dope. You on mute?
You muted, brother.
There we go. I'm over here thinking you the new Morgan Freeman. What's that one movie? What's it called? Lean on Me.
Lean on Me. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't be nervous. Just you do what that nigga did.
You smoke crack, don't you?
Come on, Sam's. And I also ran into one of my homeboys' wife. She works for Middletown down there, so I got a chance to chop it up with her as well, man. It was just a dope experience, man. So we're going to be doing some more work with them throughout the rest of the years, man. Try to come up with like an event, because the only thing that they need is volunteers and money. Like, that's it. Like, they do sock drives and stuff like that. So I'm sure the easiest thing to do is to create a QR code and put it on our website. But I really want people to, you know, get involved a little bit more with some of these nonprofits around the city, because there's a whole bunch of dope ones doing a lot of great work.
How many shoes did you unload?
Nigga. Now, all that said, as everybody knows, there was a crazy temperature drop in the great state of Ohio this week. Mm-hmm. And that was on that day. Mm-hmm. So we're at the gym, and they backed this big truck up to the back of the gym. And they do the, you know, the line. What do they call that, killer?
Chain.
Yeah, assembly line. Yeah. So all the students from Sinclair, and like I said, the lady Chris, super energetic personality out the ass. She's like, I need 15 volunteers. And she looks dead in my eyes. I'm like, I guess I'm volunteering. And I was one of the first volunteers or whatever. So some of the first volunteers have to kind of like be outside. So I was outside doing this for like 20 minutes, unloaded the truck. I mean, from size, 1Y all the way up to men's 15.
Wow.
Just boatloads of shoes, tons of shoes. And then obviously whatever shoes that they don't give to the kids has to be loaded back onto the truck. And when things were wrapping up, she was like, Kevin, you're with me. I'm like, okay. So we loaded it back on. Thank goodness this time I was on the inside. And then, oh, y'all also forgot, once we wrapped up giving away the shoes to the kids and the books and the socks and everything like that, kids went back to class or lunch or whatever. You know, she had people come up there and speak. You know, it was some people that have done it before, some people that actually had their kids part of the program. I got up there and spoke and, you know, basically relayed the same thing that I said on the pod. Like, yo, I was nervous, you know, until the little girl took away that pressure because, you know what I'm saying, she was so awesome. So, like I said, great time, great time.
So, wait a second, because you a sneakerhead, for real.
Yeah.
You ain't loading the boxes. See some ones. And, you know, you got to be sweating.
Our first meeting with Chris, she made it abundantly clear that like we don't give away Jordans, Kyries, you know, these expensive name brand pair of shoes or whatever. Because like if you got one pair, you give one pair of Jordans to one kid, the next kid's going to want some. So, you know what I'm saying? They buy like
Asics, they're going to be upset. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like brands, less expensive brands. So like Skechers and stuff like that. Some Adidas in there and stuff nice. Like that.
So you weren't it sweating. Wasn't, you weren't nah, looking like them the ones. Hold on.
I've been looking for these. Right. Give me them shoes.
One of them turn boxes go to the ground real
exactly.
quick.
Exactly. But yeah, it was dope, man.
That's what's up. Helping the community.
Yeah, that's dope.
Trying to do my part, man. So let's jump into it, man. Let's jump into these topics, man. We can start with the biggest story of the week. Diddy being sued again, but this time is by a male employee and people are catching strays left and right. What was y'all takeaway from this latest scandal with Puff?
Don't sound good. It got R. Kelly's cousin all over it. It don't sound good. Paperwork sound the same. It's a lot of the verbiage that I heard them use, you know, used to date Nicki Minaj, lived in Philly, former Philly rapper. Let me do the math. I heard another one used to date a R&B singer from Barbados. Do the math. I mean, the names they're throwing around are big names. And you get big names and media involved. This it's gonna grow into, you know, something that I know Diddy don't want. Another settlement coming because he ain't seemed to be going to court with the Cassie. What's her name? Cassie?
Cassie.
Yeah, Casey. Cassie. So, yeah, paid her off to avoid the scrutiny, I'm sure. So,
expeditiously.
Yeah. It just don't sound good, man. It don't sound good.
Shit. Well, did we just hear some shit about Diddy? What's the dude named Keefe V?
Mm-hmm.
We still ain't heard the final touches on that. I mean,
he's in jail, so.
Yeah. But when he's spilling the beans on like who called what hit and who did this.
Yeah,
and
I mean, this shit has been going on for over 15 years with Keefe D and Gene Deal doing interviews on Vlad TV talking about, you know, Puff's role in the murders of Tupac and Biggie and stuff like that. And it's crazy that, you know, those guys have been talking about that stuff for so long, but the sexual assault and now, you know what I'm saying, the allegations of, you know what I'm saying, gay play, for lack of a better word, are the ones that's really getting out there to the masses. So it kind of tells you how society works and everything. So,
murder. Puff, thievery. But he kissed a dude. He kissed right. a nigga.
Yeah, it's, man, it's crazy. Some of the context of that subject is wild. How he's talking about, you know, forcing dude to have sex with prostitutes. They didn't say if they was guys or girls. They didn't say, you know, it was just a lot of I think it was even like a RICO charge against like the label. Like they was trying to say this is a whole corporation that funded to do these things. And I think his son was listed in there. It's a lot of juice to this. That's just like, don't sound good.
Yeah.
And then there's a social media reaction. I mean, you know, Puff is a Harlem dude. And you ever listen to like how Harlem dudes talk, especially from that era, you know what I'm saying? It's the extra swag, it's the pretty boy shit. It's you know what I'm saying? It's an era that fit that era. But you try to bring that into today's time and climate, you know, calling dudes daddy, and I mean his studio called Daddy House is just like twisted in a certain light. And all these old clips of Puff surfacing, you know, him looking at people a certain way, him kissing dudes, like
in the moment is matching shirts.
In the moment, it seems harmless, but when you put all this context on it, it just makes you say, "Yikes, yikes!" Mm-hmm. So, as DJs, especially you, Killer, because this is your era, what are you gonna do with the music?
The music is going to be the music. Certain parties, I can tell, you know, they might not want to hear no this or no that. But other parties, you know, they come in there like, no, this is my shit. I need to hear that 12 play tonight, you know, or whatever, you know. So I think like anything else, even Lizzo has some shit where, you know, it's about damn time tonight just all of a sudden went away. But I still play it. I still get, you know. I almost am at the point of my DJ career where I want to see, like I'll play it to be like, okay, they're not fucking with this. I can get out of something real quick, but I play it just to see, am I going to get the O's or the lookovers or the turn up or just because the music, I think, as much as, you know, all this is about, you know, the people that make these songs, the way that these songs make people feel, don't really, you know, they might be shy to express it, but you play the right one, they in their chair, you know, having a good old time. So I let the music separate from, you know, the personal life. So
yeah, I just got requested a Ignition remix at the last gig, which was a first. I ain't had no R. Kelly requests in a while. Yeah, I don't think Diddy's at that point yet to where niggas is like, we're canceling him. He ain't been canceled just yet. It ain't happened yet.
Right.
Man. Now listen. When the R. Kelly cancellation came, I was crushed. But if the Puff Bad Boy cancellation comes and niggas is not playing the Bad Boy music, I might shed a tear. I might shed a couple tears.
That Bad Boy concert is top five.
Yeah, and I missed it. Thanks again for the reminder.
I'm sorry. It was amazing. It was
Chef's amazing. Kiss.
Yeah, it was amazing.
My biggest issue with the cancellation of, you know, the figureheads, you know, the Bill Cosbys of the world, in this case, if there is a cancellation of Puff and the whole Bad Boy catalog, you know, there's a lot of people that suffer the consequences and not just that one individual. Like we talked about it before, when the Cosby Show got pulled from syndication all across the country, like we started seeing Felicia Rashad pop up in acting roles again because, hey man, I'm not getting that check from the syndication. Dude that played Elvin, he had to go get a job at the grocery store. He had a little recurring role on Power because, hey man, that check was great. I didn't have to do anything, but now that it's not around, I have to work. So think about all the other people that compose the music on R. Kelly songs that's not getting a check now because he's been canceled. Think of all the people that Puff, quote unquote, gave their publishing back to during a Bad Boy run. If he's canceled, then there's no more eating for them. Biggie's two kids, that's motherfucking Black Rob's kids. Like it's unintended consequences that come down when, you know what I'm saying, we pull out the cancel button on folks.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And allegedly they got video, they got footage.
If they got video, it's over, nigga.
I heard they got a still picture with like a Cuba Gooding Jr., I think they said, or one of the Gooding Juniors. And it was like they got still photos and actual footage. So yikes. Sound like the Freaknik. Somebody's mom might get the
yikes. Dizzle, what's popping in the world of sports?
Shit, I think the biggest news is what? Caitlin Clark coming to the WNBA. Can we, are we doing WNBA talk on the pod?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's do it.
Okay.
Well, she's the best basketball player in college, hands down.
Yep, so her what senior season is coming to an end. I think they said Indiana Fever got the first pick coming into next year. So Caitlin Clark coming to Indy. Yeah, right there. I saw that their tickets for the Iowa Ohio State game was like the highest women's game ticket there was. So shout outs to them, shout outs to Caitlin Clark for bringing the eyes to the women's sport. Like you said, the biggest star in college right now. But yeah, I mean, I wasn't a big WNBA watcher. I catch it when they come on, like playoff time. If I see it on, I'll turn it on. But she must watch. She's definitely one of those ones that could bring some eyes to the sport. Mm-hmm. Along with Angel Reese. I think she got the option to stay another year or go to the WNBA, but the WNBA is in good hands, man. How are y'all feeling?
Yeah, with me having three daughters and my youngest expressing the interest in hooping, you know, that's just right up my alley for things to do with the fam. You know, go, you know, every kid remembers going to that sporting thing you did when you was a child if you got the opportunity to. And, you know, I got a chance to go to the World Series in 90, and then I got a chance to go to some pretty dope UD games, and you know, just things that I remember from my childhood. So I would definitely like to get, you know, her exposed to some of these, you know, females that's really doing it, you know. So
absolutely, man. Shouts out to Caitlin Clark, shouts out to all the players in women's college basketball. But something I always want to remind folks is that Ohio State is the Big Ten champions. They are the outright Big Ten champions. They got that done on Thursday. And also, they play Iowa this Sunday. But guess what? Ohio State is the Big Ten champion. As great as Caitlin Clark is, it's a team sport. And Cody McMahon from right here in Centerville, Ohio, is the star player on Ohio State's team. And they are the number two team in the country. So just another reminder that Ohio State is the Big Ten champions. So,
I'm gonna have to check them out because I ain't been to. I see the highlights and she's been going off triple doubles here and there.
I mean, she's unbelievable. She's gonna break every scoring record out there. She's cold. There's no doubt about it, man. You know, the cool thing about women's basketball now, especially college basketball, is there's so many good players and so many good teams. When I was growing up, it was either Tennessee or Stanford. Those are the teams that were gonna win women's college basketball. Then it was the UConn era. Well, guess what? Mm-hmm. Now we got UConn. We got Iowa, Caitlin Clark. We got South Carolina. Stanford's still always going to be there. LSU's there. Tennessee's there. So, like, it's multiple teams. It's not just, you know, whatever team is hot for the moment. Shoot, back in the 80s, it was USC, you know what I'm saying, with Cheryl Miller and stuff like that. So, you know.
And it's more names. I think I know more women college players than the men's.
Hands down, the stars in the college game are on the women's side. They're staying in school longer. They're developing. It's more entertaining to watch. Look, I love Syracuse men's basketball, but our games are boring as hell. They're just boring. There's a layup here, an occasional dunk. There's no three-point shooters on our team. But shit, right. Caitlin Clark, she pulling from half court. She crossing motherfuckers over. Angel Reese talking shit at the free throw line. Like, I'm getting none of that in the men's game.
Why she declare now though? There's still some season left. Still got tournament coming up. What's the point of doing it before all of this?
It's the last home game. Last home game on Sunday versus the Big Ten champion Ohio State Buckeyes.
So the ticket prices is up. It's basically. What else?
Now, y'all want to come see me? Y'all better pull up. But yeah, I mean, shoot, she gonna get drafted number one. She gonna go to the Indiana Fever, like you said. Team her up with Aaliyah Boston from South Carolina. They gonna have a nice 1-2 punch for sure.
Yeah.
So I hear the Sixers are building. I kept seeing the word sculpture. I didn't see statue, but I saw that the 76ers are building a sculpture for Allen Iverson outside of the stadium. Is this warranted? Is this deserved?
Oh yeah.
AI is AI. Okay.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
So what are they going, what,
absolutely,
pose I want or silhouette are they doing? They gonna have them tie.
You already know. Down. You know what it is.
They can't do Ty Lue like that. I mean, Ty Lue getting a sculpture piece getting in there too. You know,
it's probably not gonna be that one because him and Ty Lue are boys. So it's probably not gonna be that. I'm not sure what it's gonna be. Maybe it'll be him just, you know, coming down like a little looking like a deep
crossover.
Maybe that crossover on MJ or something like that. But you gotta have a crossover. And if it's a statue or whatever, it's got to have Iverson with the braids. He ain't had a braids when he had did that move on MJ. You got to have him doing a move with the braids. You got to if you're going to make it real authentic, man. But yeah. I would love for it to be the Ty Lue step over, but I know Iverson ain't going to do that. I recently listened to his podcast with Shaq, and he was like, man, I hate the backlash that Ty Lue get all the time from that. It was just in the moment, so... Iverson turned into a softy in his old age.
Nah, yeah, shout outs to him. I am curious to see how it turned out. There's been some blunder statues, sculptures that don't look like the person, so they got to do it right. Black people is hard to make into statues and stuff, man, because black people got certain features where if you fuck up the nose, it turns into a whole different person. Everything got to be right, bro. Can't have them looking like, what's his name, Riley Freeman. On the right.
That little all I ask, go ahead, bro.
I'm about to say, all I ask is they throw a little hip hop in there because he was one of the first ones to kind of tie hip hop and NBA, you know, kind of he was one of them Mount Rushmores of that. So I hope they just, like you say, some braid. They got to put something saucy on there for me just to tie in what Allen Iverson did, you know, for the NBA.
You got to have everything. Have everything. You gotta have a headband, you gotta have a shooting sleeve, you gotta have the braids, you gotta have the tats. I mean, he was the first guy in the NBA to, you know what I'm saying, do that. He was the first dude to get tats on his arms and neck and, you know what I'm saying, wear the braids. And now, like, we see an NBA dude with a tat, it just that's just what the culture is. So you gotta put on for AI.
Yeah. And Kev, this is your dude. Dame Lillard, Dame Tom don't sound like he like in Milwaukee, man. He go to practice, he go home, he play video games. Sound like my life. So
Mr. Lonely.
He also said that he felt like the Bucks should be where the Boston Celtics are, or he thought that they would be where the Celtics are right now. So what is Dame talking about? He doing a lot of talking.
Yeah. One thing I will say about the Bucks, they are 4-0 since the All-Star break. So shouts out to the Bucks. They are half a game behind my Cleveland Cavaliers, who are second in the East. I believe they're both 8 games back of the Celtics. Celtics are remaining on a fire. I appreciate them talking, you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, shoot, half the time we would hear a Dame interview probably be once a year. Like during All-Star, because played in Portland and the last like couple years they stunk. So they like, no need to interview them. They ain't going nowhere. But at least like there's something to talk to him about. I will say this. I know why he's lonely. I mean, everybody, the reports are out there. You know what I'm saying? Him and his wife got divorced. You know what I'm saying? He got 3 kids. They all live back in Portland. He's in Milwaukee by himself. His sister still live in Portland. Mom still live in Sacramento. Not Sacramento, but Oakland and all that type of stuff. Like, so family's all the way over there and he's by himself. I will say those people would be with him if they got traded to Miami. They're not coming to Milwaukee.
Like, that's what I was going to say.
If they moved their entire lives from, you know, Oakland, San Francisco up to Portland. I mean, Dame, you played college basketball in Utah. Like, you're used to like these places that aren't like quote unquote cool or whatever. It's the fact that his family's not around. And I respect his family for telling him, yeah, we straight. Like, I'm not moving to Milwaukee. Now, if you got traded to Miami, yeah, we'll move there. But we're not about to uproot our whole lives to move to Milwaukee, bro. We're good. We're good here in Portland. FaceTime me, bro.
I don't get it because I look, Dame's contract, he's old. $216.2 million over the next 4 years.
including 63.2 million in 26-27 season alone, right? Came from some money, wasn't broke. And I've been to Portland and I've been to Milwaukee. You was bored in both. So what life was you doing in Portland, other side from the family and all that? I get that. But 216 million, you're not bored. And if you're bored, it's because
he bored, bro. He bored. Like, so I was listening to an interview and they likened it to LeBron when he was with the Cavs versus when he was obviously now with the Lakers and when he was in Miami. When LeBron was with the Cavs, especially that first run, you could see LeBron just randomly at Beachwood Mall or whatever. And especially like in Akron, like he just go wherever he want, like, and he's unbothered. Like he's not, he was not running up on him. He went to Miami. Oh my God, LeBron. He go to LA. Oh my God, LeBron. In Portland, that's how they treated Dame. They like respected him and respected his privacy. What they were saying is like, he can't go out in Milwaukee. Giannis can't go out in Milwaukee and just be a regular guy and go out to Dave and Buster's. Like they have basically two steak houses that they can go to that are upscale restaurants. It's got to be difficult having that much money and not being able to do the cool shit. Like, there's no yacht party for you to go to.
But you just make it happen. You just do what you're like, everybody you missing, you just bring to you. Like,
But they got to want to come. I'm just saying, man. I haven't had a lot of visitors. Or shouts out to Dayton, Ohio. But I haven't had a lot of people say, hey, man, we want to pull up on you in Dayton, Ohio. I always want to pull up on my brother in Las Vegas.
True.
That's facts. What else we got? So this happened literally during the last pod or right before the last pod. The news came out. Cam Newton gets jumped, kind of. They tried. What? They was at a 707 football camp. And
Cam was in the pocket, baby. He was just in the pocket. It wasn't, he had one on this arm here, tucking ball in.
It looked like, was it the camp goers or was it like some of the camp counselors? It looked like some grown men trying to fight.
It was the coaches from the other 707 team that, you know, a lot of trash talking was going on. And, you know, the trash talking led to a touch of the shoulder, to pushing, to Cam start slinging niggas around like ragdolls.
Yeah.
Cam Newton is what, 6'6"?
240. Yeah. 240,
250. He's the size of a defensive end, dude. He's not like, you know what I'm saying, right, a skinny quarterback or a small person at all. We he all know
when he had held down, he could have tore his ass up because dude was tied up in his jacket and sweater and it was all messed up. So they got lucky.
Have y'all ever seen a little fisticuff breaks out at like one of these little league games or anything like that?
I don't think so.
I was almost in a fight. I remember being in the AAU game. We was losing by like 40. We was getting cooked. And I was just mad. The nigga was on the ground. I kicked him real quick. Got a technical. I remember vividly my dad taking me to the public bathroom. And I got a whooping at halftime for kicking the kid. This motherfucker's walking in and out the bathroom. Oh, excuse me. And this is like early 2000s. So what niggas with their phones out or nothing. I was getting a whooping in the bathroom. Back in the third quarter, apologize,
wiping away the tears. Oh man, that's awesome, man.
Right,
good parenting, man. That's some awesome parenting. Shouts out to my brother AP. I was at one of his son's football games. Man, this was a while ago, but like a straight fist fight broke out between some parents, man. About, I don't know, playing time or something like that, man. But I commend all those coaches out there that take on these roles, man. You know, your son or daughter is on the team and you want to, you know what I'm saying, be a coach. But then you ultimately end up coaching other kids and dealing with parents and everybody thinks their kid is the next LeBron or the next freaking Joe Montana and everything like that. And you got to keep it real with the parents, and the parents don't like that, man. I know my boy RDP, aka Boo That Man, dealt with that type of stuff. And to his credit, he said he nipped that shit in the bud on day one. On day one, he's like, man, you got to nip it in the bud and let them know that this ain't that. You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. these parents will try to run over you and then use their kids against you and everything like that. So I salute those parents that go out there and do that whole coaching thing. I don't have the patience for it because I don't deal with people well.
Yeah. And Cam deserved better, man, because I know y'all's probably seen all the videos of the kids going in on them, just kind of it being disrespectful. And I know Cam is like going back and forth in the videos, talking shit, trash talking or whatever. But, you know, it should never get to the point to where y'all trying to jump the man. Like, unless mm-hmm. I think it's 6'6". It's a good thing he wasn't swinging, trying to hurt people. It seemed like he was just trying to get them off of him and right. get out the way. Yeah, man.
Why do y'all think that is? Why do y'all think people feel like it's okay to test Cam like that?
That's social media. They think that shit real. They really yeah. people live in a world where they, you know, somebody doing this on their phone across from you, they get mad thinking you taking a picture and they reading the notes for the pod. You know what I'm saying? So it's like people just get caught in that world of what they think their perception of what's going on. And I think social media is, whew, it's a motherfucker.
Yeah. I mean, Cam is
the way he dressed.
I was about to say, flamboyant, loud, you know what I'm saying? And he didn't win a Super Bowl. If he won a Super Bowl, it's a little extra juice that you got. He didn't win it, so that's ammunition for the kids to be talking shit. You don't think so?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, because it's happening.
They don't be talking. I don't be seeing Marshawn Lynch getting disrespected, and he
yeah loud, because you're right. You know what? You're right. Because, and I like the word you use right there, disrespected. It's one thing because kids are gonna be kids. Kids roast people, joke around all the time. Yeah. And I mean, if you're a coach, you have a good relationship with kids, and you know what I'm saying, you enter their world and everything. But it goes from like joking and having a good time with your coach or whatever to like it seems mean spirited, and then like Cam in turn has to turn it up a notch and be mean spirited or whatever. And let's be real, man. Cam got a lot of money in the bank. He doesn't have to do this. He could just go off and live with his millions of dollars, raise his 50 kids and do his podcast and not give back to the community. He could just turn his back. I mean, he's a product of public school system in Atlanta. So he doesn't have to do this. Like he could just say, fuck it, to be honest.
Yeah. Shout outs to Cam. Hopefully he keep doing it. I don't think this is going to stop him.
Nah. This is passion, man.
Yeah. We got to talk about LeBron and Bronny too. You know, LeBron asked for Bronny to be allowed to enjoy his college after the mock draft came out and then 2025 got him going 39. That don't sound like to the Lakers. So, But what's the deal, or how do y'all feel about, you know, Bronny's situation and LeBron's comments?
I don't know what LeBron is expecting folks to do, not talk about his son that's allegedly about to be in the league. Like, it's going to happen. You're LeBron James. You are the biggest basketball star maybe ever, arguably. Your son is good enough to make the league but hasn't been playing at that level yet. So, yeah, they're going to talk about it. And plus, LeBron, you're the one that said you want to play with him. So, yeah, teams are going to be looking to pick him up just to get you.
Right.
This That's is a point. Self-inflicted wound by LeBron.
Couldn't agree more. Like, this is all LeBron's doing. I mean, he was going to have to deal with this. Bronny, that is, will have to deal with this anyway. You know what I'm saying? He's the son of LeBron James. And I think people always overlook things that Bronny's mom says, Savannah. She always says, I just want him to do what he wants to do and be happy. It seems like there is that point, and then LeBron's point is, I want to play with him in the NBA. Well, what if that's truly not Bronny's dream? Like, what if he's just doing this because this is what people expect me to do? This is what my dad does. This is what my dad wants me to do. And Savannah has, hey, whatever you want to do, it, I don't know, be a fireman, be a doctor, be a lawyer, be an artist, whatever, do what you want to do. But LeBron has been pushing this. I want to play with my son. And I mean, I get it. I understand. Like, you want the best for your son and you want to have this closeness relationship. But has anybody ever thought, like, let's just say Bronny does make it to the NBA and he is playing for the Lakers. You really want to be on a 7-game road trip with your dad? Right. I don't think I would want to be on a 7-game road trip with my dad. Like, you just get away from me. Like, you just, if you LeBron, you really want your son with you on a 7-game road trip? I mean, I know LeBron has this squeaky clean image, but you know, he is LeBron James. I'm just saying, I'm not starting no rumors or anything like that, but like, it's one thing to be the oldest player in the NBA and be on a 7-game road trip with a whole bunch of young dudes, but now you the oldest dude in the NBA and your son there too.
Right.
It seems kind of weird.
I didn't even think about that.
That reminds me of I saw an O'Shea Jackson interview, and he was talking about going on tour with his dad. And when they would do Today Was a Good Day, he said, I got a beat from Kim and she can fuck all night. He like, bro, that's my mom. like, bro, I'm not performing this with you. Like, so it's like, just like that connection that you say, like, that's a lot of, you know, being in a different space with your parent. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have dreams of my kids wanting to play golf, but I couldn't imagine traveling the world with my kids wanting to play golf. Like, nah, I need some me time. So yeah, that's a self-inflicted wound for sure. I think LeBron's greatness, we don't talk about it enough, but his 27 point average for 20 years we've never seen. And the I remember the UD, just seeing LeBron come play Centerville at UD in high school, and UD was sold out like a UD Flyer game. And I mean, that world is him, and he can't move and say nothing without that world following him. So nothing's mm-hmm. going to ever not be loud. And them kids don't have to dream for nothing. They can just chill because he Richie rich. So they don't have to dream. You know, I don't say that as like they should, but they don't have to.
Nah, they saw it.
Yeah, for sure. I would like to see Bronny come back to school, even though I think it's highly unlikely. You know, obviously people kind of like really overlooking the fact that he did have a heart attack. So, you know, like let's, I would prefer him to come back to school, but you know, it's his choice, man. Whatever he wants to do.
He can't declare.
Yeah.
How many freshmen do that? 3 points?
Yeah. Like, he a freshman learning a new program. Like, give this man some time to, you know, he got to fuck a bunch of bitches. He got to do a lot of shit and figure out how to still be a hooper. You know what I'm saying? So he just now getting his feet wet and know where this building is and where that building is and where the turn up is and where not to go. He just figuring that shit out.
Yeah.
You know, give the man some time.
Yeah, give him one more year. And Bron has still got, 4 or 5 years in the league. So he'll be there. Just give it another year.
Good luck, Bronny. Killer, what's going on in the world of entertainment?
Man, first thing that I noticed was Bad Boy 4. They moved that up a week to June 7th. I am a huge victim of TNT Bad Boy 2, Bad Boy 3 rerun that grabbed me whenever I see I gotta finish the movie type of shit. I definitely will check out Bad Boy 4. I'm not urgent to go see it at a movie theater, but something that, you know, I still enjoy the Bad Boys. I still like to see what bad bitch Will going after and what, you know, what funnies they do trying to catch the bad guys. So I mean, it's still entertaining enough for me to be excited for it. So
yeah,
opening night, dog.
Got you me. There?
Gotta go, man. Y'all like the last one? Martin.
Yeah, I thought it was cool.
Outside of the bad CGI, yeah.
The
action scenes where they replaced the stunt double face with Will Smith face, that looked terrible, but you know, everything else was good.
Right.
Will Smith just like, hey, I'm young forever. You're not, sir. You're not. And he not canceled no more. We good with that? We good? We over the smack.
Canceled? Oh, yeah. He was never canceled, man. That was
because you believe that was fake.
Yeah, I still do.
Question. I haven't watched it. You said Tone got a new special on Amazon, right? Yep. Does he talk about the...
I think he does. I think he does. I've only watched it once. I don't remember every detail, but I think he does dabble on that a little bit.
Looks like I'm watching that tonight. What else popping in
entertainment? I know Three Stacks. Andre 3000 said he missed rapping. He would love to make another rap album. He was quoted as saying, I just think it'd be an awesome challenge to do a fire album at 48 years old. I would love to do that. So
I ain't trying to hear it, bro. He saw Killer Mike go up there and clean house, and now he wanna dabble, bro.
Whatever the motivation is to get Three Stacks back in the
yeah, book, I'm with
it. I need a new Outkast rap album. Outkast rap album.
Was it not just 2 months ago where he was saying, "What am I going to rap about?" Now he want to rap.
Every person need their own motivation. Yeah,
man.
Every person got to get motivated, you know.
So you won't listen?
I listen, but why take Killer Mike to have to win Grammys for him to just turn around and be like, maybe I do got something to rap about?
he ain't want to be the first old nigga and not be cool. If
somebody else do it.
Yeah, he like, well, shit, if it's cool enough for Killer Mike, I should be able to squeeze in there. So I hope he do it, because that's one of my favorite rappers of all time.
Yeah, and he in the group. Like, you don't have to write, you know what I'm saying, 316 verses, man. You can write a verse in the hook, bro. Mm-hmm. Big boy got the other verse in the hook. We are good. Like, get to work.
Have a little flute interlude.
Hey, want to do that little bonus track? Go ahead. I'll skip that. But, you know, the rap shit, I'm here for the rap shit.
He drop a rap album, it's gonna be a lot of pressure. Right. He ain't really rap like for an album to be coming out with 8-10 plus songs of that's yours, not just features to jump on and kill. That's a lot of pressure, man.
Yeah.
Look, I know how you do this, man. You let Big Boy do all the heavy lifting. You let him do all the creative work. You let them do all the concept. Here go the beat. Here we'll be rapping about. Give me 16. We will call Killer Mike to fill in on this song. We gonna call Sleepy Brown to sing on this hook. Don't you worry. You just rap. Don't worry. Don't think. Just rap.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Y'all check out BMF Season 3, Episode 1 yet?
I did not.
It's on my list. Are you going to watch it all? Oh, yeah. You're going to watch.
Yeah. I think at this point, I know what I'm watching. I know it's for the funnies. I'm not watching for no storyline. I don't care who the villain is. I'm watching because I know it's going to be some funny acting. There's going to be some scenes. Charles is going to be tempted. I'm watching for the funnies. He's tempted. Episode 1, you give me the look. It already happened. Damn, Charles.
He hasn't been tempted. Nash Charles hasn't been tempted quite yet, but he's made that Charles face already.
Yeah. He's dealing with the consequences of that Charles face is what he's doing. So I definitely watched Season 1. You know, I'm always a fan of trying to see Lala with the nudity sign. I'm hoping that's her. Lala had a good episode. It was a good first episode.
Did she?
I mean, for what the show has to offer. You know, we all kind of watch this show as, you know, a filler. It's something to tune into. I personally, if we do the pod on Saturday, I usually watch it Saturday morning about 5, 6 a.m. You know, it's something to talk about. I enjoy it enough to keep watching. So,
you know, I don't think I've ever said this on the pod, man. There was a point in my life that I wanted to make movies and like write movies. So my mom bought me this book about screenwriting. And one of the main things about it was they say, show, don't tell. So basically saying, hey, man, don't talk to the audience about what's going on. Don't just show them, like allow the audience to catch up to you. Like, don't take your audience for granted. Like, they're stupid that you actually have to tell them A, B, C, D, E, F, G is going on. Right. And that's the biggest problem with BMF. They tell you exactly what's going on every single scene. Mm-hmm. From you know what I'm saying, how the each and every season opens and closes. They tell you what's going on. And as the show is going on, they tell you what's going on, as opposed to simply doing the set act. And I think that's the show's biggest downfall, is that second, the acting is but that the writing on it. And it, and that's the other thing. We're coming off of Raising Kanan, which I think we all agree is top tier entertainment, to this. Like, it's such a far drop off between those two shows.
I got a bone to pick with Raising Kanan.
Uh oh. Talk to him.
Y'all watched, y'all caught all the way up?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think we all knew that, what's his name? Unique. We all knew that Unique wasn't dead. And I think we all can agree, like, we didn't see the dead body. Nobody ever really saw what happened. I knew he was alive. Y'all knew that?
I wanted it to be, but his brother's a Stone Cold Killer, so I didn't know.
Yeah, the rolling him down the hill, I was like, that's pretty, he's dead. But there was one line in there throughout the rest of the season where ain't nobody found the body. I was like, well, he's alive.
He's alive. How does he know where Kanan and the mom and the brother, how did he know where they was going to be on the last scene, to where he could just walk up and look at the dead body? Who gave him the drop? Where's he been?
We're going to find out season 4. That's the hook.
Man.
That's the hook.
I need some explanations. This nigga was just hiding in the back just to watch, and then nah, man, they could have did that differently. They could have had him in a coffee shop or did something different, bro. I knew he was alive. I don't like the introduction of showing that he was alive by walking
over the dead body. They made it seem like he just woke up. Like he just got, like, he was still dirty and like
right. He came from the pit that he was just walking into. Like, nah, he
found you that quick.
I need some.
That nigga was in that pit for like 2 months.
Right.
They did have him still dirty. Like, yeah, it didn't make no sense. I'm gonna watch it though. This shit at this point is funny, and at this point it's like, when are they gonna wrap any of these shows up? There's no ending in sight. Is it never?
Yeah, and they're getting, I won't say they're getting cheap, but they're using their resources, because one of Big Meech's homes in Decatur that I think Little Meech lives in currently, a lot of the scenes and table talk scenes and just parts of the house, like, they using his crib to shoot. So he coming downstairs to work in his own house. And it's just, yeah, some of the low budget things they do is just like, nigga shit.
Yeah, I mean, they got the wigs on there, boy. Whoever playing Big Meech in the future, his wig looks very Tyler Perry wiggish. Two Chains got this big lump in the back of his afro because of his locks is probably tied up in a knot. Somehow Neo has hair. He has an S curl. It's, you know,
it's funny.
Who we watching? Tuned in, man. We are tuned in. What else popping, killer?
Speaking of BMF and Big Meech, a judge approved Big Meech's request to be released early by 32 months. So he will be home in time to see Bronny go 39th. 2025.
I mean, that's what's up.
I'm here for it, man. I'm here for it. Can you imagine the turn up that's going to be? You know, all the early 2000 rappers going to be giving them gifts left and right.
Them Detroit niggas coming dressed to impress, it's gonna be a thing.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. Also, an issue that's near and dear to my heart. Wiz Khalifa admits he smokes 30 joints a day. Holy Moses. It's 24 hours in a day. You sleep for maybe 4 to 6 to 7, depending on how busy you are as a human. So that we down to 18 to 20. And he's putting them back. He post Malone in them things.
He ready for crack.
That's insane.
The weed ain't enough no more. If you got to smoke 30 joints a day, you need to upgrade.
He's smoking them bitches like cigarettes.
Right. That's crazy.
Damn.
I'd love to spend a day with him, though.
Could you hang?
Nah, I mean, I would tap
out. How long could you hang?
Oh, I'll make it through the first, you know, meal and first, you know, game that we play or whatever. You know, I'll make it through. But when we get to round four, I'm gonna be, I'm gonna be asleep.
30 of them, Jones. That's crazy.
Crazy.
Insane.
Shoot, what else we got? We got did y'all hear about Rihanna?
Bad girl Riri, what's poppin'?
Rihanna.
Ooh, 5 million.
Yeah. Arrived to perform at a wedding of a son of the richest Asian or a richest man from Asia. She reportedly is being paid $5 million to perform. I'm put it out there. A lot of my weddings be, you know, five and up. I might hit $1,000 a few times a year. I need to up my price because she performing way less than me.
Yeah.
And geez, $5 million to go do somebody's not wedding. Not all the equipment. Exactly. And only got to do probably like 30 minutes if she want to be generous.
She crazy.
What
man.
Songs is Rihanna performing at a wedding?
La 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 la.
Work.
Right.
Love on the brain. She got some joints.
Sex with me, so amazing.
I just don't think of Rihanna in wedding songs.
Right.
Like Jagged Edge literally has a song called "Let's Get Married." Like,
so that means she got to come to the late part of the party because she can't perform during dinner or cocktail hour. Or, you know, it got to be some of her hits is gonna turn the place up. So
yeah,
you getting a Super Bowl performer at your wedding, bro? He's rich. That's what I'm talking about, Dame. Just spend $5 million.
Yeah.
Have some fun.
Spend that bag. Why not? Yeah. You got it. You earned it.
So the last thing I got to, I kind of brought it up earlier about Freaknik, but have y'all seen the Hulu trailer for the Freaknik documentary dropping this month, March 21st? Somebody's mom and daddy getting exposed.
I thought it already came out. So we had talked about this just when they announced that it was coming, I guess. Because I thought this shit was out already.
Nope, coming this month. They announced it. We talked about it. Now they got the trailer. They talking about, you know, the founders who started this event and just the mecca of what Atlanta is to Black people. And it's going to be... I know some folks for sure is nervous about seeing they folks because somebody's mama gonna be busting it open. She is 55 right now. Like Jesus, that was a time to be alive. So
I am working on having a special guest after that drops that actually attended the Freaknik back in their college days. I've actually known this individual my entire life. He's called my big brother. I've seen partial camcorder videos of his trip to Freaknik. So I want to get him on this here podcast to talk about it.
And make sure you tell him don't incriminate yourself. You know what I'm saying? I'm certain there's going to be some people coming forward talking about their experience, which may have not been the greatest. So
right.
Just give him that disclaimer.
You know, the funny thing is we all have, you know, a text chain or whatever, and he'll say something that's like off the wall. I was like, man, you might want to delete that. Like, because he has aspirations to do other things in life. I was like, hey, man, we don't need this coming out in reports like 10 years from now when you're running for public office or anything like that. Right. So, like, yeah, you're right. So, yeah.
I know she might not want me to share this, but my wife's mother was young when she had her. So in her 20s, my wife remembers being a child, making it to auntie's house so that the aunties can go enjoy Freaknik. But like, they was partying on the highway. They was partying in the streets. So as a child, she had to, you know, going down the street like this, cover your eyes, you know, you're looking like this in the back seat trying to see what's going on. So my wife remembers a few summers getting dropped off at grandma's or auntie's for the weekend and while the grown-ups had some fun. So
mama gotta have fun too.
Yeah, facts.
Couple quick hitters before we slide up out of here. Black owned seafood restaurant Catch Kitchen and Cocktails adds live band feature feed to customers' receipts for $20. This obviously is located in Atlanta.
I ain't mad at it. Dinner and a show. If the food is good, $20 for some live entertainment ain't bad.
Next time y'all need an edible arrangement, I'm gonna have my stuff set up. And we're gonna have a little fee. And yeah, I'm with it. No, I think it's crazy.
As long as it's on the website, you know, in that fine print, I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it because shoot, we've all been to vacations where they got the gratuity included. And you know, if it's your first time like doing like a grown-up vacation, you like, what the hell is gratuity? Like, or whatever. I don't see that on the table, but like, you know, you find out what those things are, and you know, I'm sure you have plenty of other options in Atlanta if you want your seafood dining, if you don't want to pay that extra 20.
My only
issue. But what if the band sucks?
That's about to say my only.
What if it's a rapper and not a band? It's just a nigga up there rapping and shit.
You got 200 people in your restaurant that done dropped 20 to you for a band. And three of the members is the uncles that live down the street. You know what I'm saying? It's just like I don't, the band got to be quality for us to be, you know, pulling up to drop off an extra 20, you know, per person. That's crazy.
Crazy. Yeah.
I ain't mad at it.
Get to a point where they charge for the playlist. They ain't gonna have no DJ. They ain't gonna have no band. It's gonna have a playlist playing over there. Like, yeah, that's $20 because we gave you a fire playlist.
Yeah.
Kellogg's CEO suggests people should eat cereal for dinner to save money.
No, because he was talking to the less fortunate people that have lower incomes, which is Black people. And he was saying that their research shows that 25% of cereal consumption happens outside of the normal breakfast hours, and was trying to put this and that together. And man, that's no, we're not promoting cereal and dollar store meals for our children and has a healthy nutrition options to grow and be productive citizens in this country. No, I think it's terrible.
Talk to him.
Yeah, I think he was miseducated, misinformed, and Kellogg.
He's not miseducated. He's not misinformed. He just about that money. I mean, they're
a billionaire company.
I don't do the grocery shopping in our house. The wife does it. I appreciate her for doing that. She buys a lot of organic stuff. But I did go to the grocery store with her one time, and I'm just walking down the aisle looking at, you know what I'm saying, the good old days of the cereals, you know, the Captain Crunch, Peanut Butter Crunch. That was my go-to. Them boxes is like $6.50.
Yeah.
$6.50 a box. And I can go through a box, especially as a kid, in like 3 days.
Don't get the family size. The family size ones is 10, 11. I mean, it's nuts. It's nuts. And having three kids that eat cereal, you know, I'm cashing out some shoes for the nonprofit in cereal. You know what I'm saying? So, nah, man.
Crazy Kellogg. Times. Womp, crazy womp. Time. EA Sports is laying off 670 employees. That's around 5% of their workforce. Dizzle?
As long as EA don't fuck up this college football game coming out, I'm straight. And I'm hoping that they come up with a college basketball game. So sorry to those 670 employees, but y'all other, whatever the rest is still there, get to it. Y'all got some highly anticipated games coming out soon.
Yeah.
So what they're also doing is they're cutting back on some of the other random games as well. So they're really obviously going to focus on Madden and college football, the FIFAs, the shit that people buy, like the random games that people ain't fucking with. They about to just basically stop making them. And like they should have did that. Like focus on the good shit. Focus on the things that y'all constantly sell. My brother brought up a great point. It's like, what's the point of forcing people to buy the new Madden every single year for $70 a pop? Like, how come like you got a game like Grand Theft that hasn't come out in like what, 10 years? And you just buy in the expansion packs as opposed to $60, $70 for the new game. Shouldn't that just be an expansion pack for Madden as opposed to making us drop $60, $70 a year? But then I told him it's a business.
Yeah. Yeah, the software update sounds like the better way to go, like, you know, Apple this thing. But I think that, like, so I'm praying that I am sitting on a gold mine, because, and you reminded me of this, in my Sega Genesis days, my mother was a home care nurse and helped all kinds of people.
Dizzle, Sega Genesis is a gaming system that came out in the early 90s. Okay, I'm just making sure you know.
one of her patients was a former employee of Sega, and gave my mom 4 shoeboxes full of Sega games, right? And I was excited, but like you talked about the good games and, you know, the games that you don't know, bro, it was 85-90% of that box was games that never even probably, you know, saw the light of day and was just like retarded games. But I still got that box. I still got them games. So hopefully, you know, I'm sitting on a gold mine and one day we'll cash in. But it needs to be a better way to keep some of these businesses open. I know they almost price themselves out of business. I feel like it gets so expensive to be a hobbyist of something. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
Yeah, indeed. Shoot, I'm the same way as I was as a kid. Like, I would have games. I would rent games from, you know, Blockbuster or the place that we used to go was called Arrow Videos. I would rent the games that I kind of wanted, but I would sucker my mom into buying me the games that I knew I was going to play, like, you know, the Maddens and the NBA Live and stuff like that. Like, those are the games that I'm going to play constantly. The stuff that I don't want, I'll just rent it. But, like, there's no place to rent games anymore, so...
Yeah.
Last one before we slide up out of here. Wendy's is planning a Uber style surge prices where burger prices fluctuate based on demand.
So wait a second. So if nobody wants this burger, they gonna make it cheaper? Yeah, don't play with me. don't play with my burger.
Look, they gonna, man, find out. I'm surprised it's Yeah, I'm surprised this hasn't happened before. I mean, we've all been on flights where, all right, hey, if you want to fly out at a certain time and come home at a certain time, the price is higher based on that. Like, if you want to stay at this cheap-ass price, you're going to get a terrible flight. You're going to land at the destination at, like, 10 o'clock at night, and then when you want to leave, we're going to put your ass on the red eye. Like, if you only want to spend $20 on this flight, that's what you're going to get. We go to the movies, like, hey, man, there's a different price for matinee versus, you know what I'm saying, prime time viewing. This is typical business moves, man. And if this works out for Wendy's, it's going to happen with McDonald's. It's going to happen with all the other fast food restaurants.
Yep.
Ain't nobody doing this. We go to Wendy's for the faux for faux. Come on. know yourself, Wendy. This is all bad.
Don't be all bad. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's crazy times, man, because as we see the Kellogg's people talking about spend your money with us, Wendy's is upping their prices. But shoot, businesses out here, they're not giving employees raises and stuff like that. Like, I was reading something on Business Insider where obviously the cost of living has gone up each and every year. And this year, cost of living is up 8.5%. And the people that actually do get a raise from their job, they're only getting like a 2% bump, where the national average over the last decade is 5%. So, like, if you are getting a raise, you're not even getting a raise to match today's income. So it's crazy times out here.
And they charge an extra for a rapper at the restaurant. Niggas, Wendy's charging an extra for the burger. Yeah. It's tough times, man.
Indeed, indeed. Well, there it is. Another episode of You Can't Make This Up podcast. Kev Nash.
DJ Killer Kev.
Hey, Dizzle.
A Saturday episode. We out.
Peace.